At this time, junior church may be dismissed.
Wow, maybe I should go to junior church. Last Sunday, we went over the prophecies of Jesus' birth. This Sunday, we go over the prophecies of his work. And I have another one for next Sunday. When I read those prophecies and the simplicity of them, I wonder how in the world could the Jewish people miss this is the Christ? Why are they still looking for the Messiah when he's come? And as I do that, God speaks to my heart and says to me, how, Brother John, how can so many Gentiles miss when it's been going on for nearly 2,000 years and all the things are so plain and so many gospel churches are preaching, and I have to be stunned into reality? I think we all need a fresh look at that. One of the things I think is particularly interesting in our scripture reading for today, as Brother Ed read it, in the first verse there, verse 16, Luke 4:16, and he, meaning Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Underline that in your Bible. Maybe the reason we don't know who Jesus is, maybe we have so many people running to churches that slaughter babies and don't understand, they weren't brought up in church. I have to tell you, I have great nieces and some great grandchildren that have never darkened a church or a worship place in their life. We are fast moving away from the old time gospel and family worship and being in the house of God and saying, this is what I want my kids to know. And he had been brought up. His parents brought him up in the things of the Lord. And it says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Churches on Sunday, that's where we ought to be. The reason it's not on the Sabbath day is because he arose on the Sunday, the first day of the week, and we celebrate that. We don't wait till Easter. Every Sunday morning, we're alert with our best, our gifts, our time, our heart, our love, and say, here I am, Lord. This is your day. I'm giving it whole to you as you give to me. We see in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after that John, that's John the Baptist, we talked about him a little bit on Wednesday night, was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, verse 15, meaning that's that prophesied, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now let's look at some of those prophecies. Christ's ministry will destroy the devil's work. No matter how strong it looks like the devil is moving today, how much and how many people and territory he is getting, God is winning. God will win. God's people will win. We were studying in Jeremiah, talking about how terrible things are. But if you read on in the chapters ahead, it says, but Judah will be saved. Judah will be saved. And we will be, have his name righteous. Genesis 3:15, after the terrible sin in the garden, how Eve and Adam had disobeyed God. By the way, when we think of terrible sins, any sin of disobedience is terrible to God. It cost His blood for every sin, not your little sins, but all sin. That word's used in the singular, the sin is what the blood washed away. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." He was talking to the devil, the serpent. "And between thy seed," which go down through the generations. Sometimes we sin. You know the story of Pinocchio, right? Everybody know he lied and what happened? His note grew. We get in a habit of thinking, well, I did this and I did that and nothing happened. Just because God prolongs your punishment for sin doesn't mean He's forgetting it. I think the longer He is in getting to you, the more severe is the punishment. In 1 John, we see the fulfillment. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We blame everybody else. We even blame the devil, but the devil just gave it to us and gives us the opportunity, and we make the choice. We make the choice, I'm going to go with the devil. I'm going to do what the devil says. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And He'll do that. We read in the last book of the Bible how that He will put him in the pit. I can't wait to see that, can you? When the old devil is cast in the pit. We see how Jesus, the Messiah, will be humble in order to serve mankind. The reason we don't have workers is not because there's not enough workers. The reason we don't have people volunteering to serve God is one thing, because they're not humbled. Jesus Himself humbled Himself to do the ministry. You got to be humble if you're going to do God's work. You got to be humble. You got to have a broken heart. You got to have a humble spirit. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we humble ourselves, God will hear our prayer. If we're not humble, He probably doesn't hear our prayer then. Psalm 8:5 says of that prophecy, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." Think of that. Almighty God Christ in heaven, ruling over the angels, sitting with His Father at the throne. Now He becomes lower than the angels and has crowned Him with glory and honor. Thou madest Him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under His feet. We see a fulfillment in Hebrews. In chapter 2, verse 7, "Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with glory and honor, and did set Him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For He hath put Him in subjection under Him. He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." The end is not here, as I said. It looks like the devil's riding the lead horse. It looks like the devil's ahead. Looks like he's winning. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, every human being, every soul. Jesus would teach in parables the simple truths. We said the last time, parables is taking a thing you can see, a physical event in the world, and make a spiritual truth come alive. The Bible said in the prophecy of that, Psalm 78:1, give ear, O my people. We don't want to hear. Jesus said they have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. We don't see the things that God's doing. Over in Corinthians, it tells us if we're saved, we've been transformed, and we have the mind of Christ. So we can think like he does, and we can see like he sees, and we can hear like he hears. That's amazing. We don't hear and we don't see. Maybe we're not saved. If we're saved, we have that ability. And if we don't hear, maybe we've just dulled our ear to it. I don't see any harm in this. I don't see any harm in that. Have you listened to the voice of God? He said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. It takes time to learn. It takes time to read. We've quit reading in America. When we went to one-room schools, first thing we were taught was reading, writing, arithmetic, how to read. But now we have it all flooded to us on the computer. Break it down on our cell phone. Make it easy. Let me not have to work and dig and read and say, now what does that word mean? What does that mean? Get the dictionary. Know what the word means. Too tough. We don't want to do it. We've dumbed down education where we don't have to study. By the way, studying is more than reading. Studying is digesting it, internalizing it. What's it saying? And not what does it say to somebody else, what does it say to me? Matthew 13:34. All things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. God's truths are right here waiting for you. Every morning before you do anything else, every night before you go to sleep, God's parables, he wants you to know him. There's an attachment to this book, to the heart of God. God has let it down to you and had it wrote for us, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus would draw the Gentiles in himself. Sometimes we get all fixated on what we've done. We got ready. We went to church. Wow. I went 3 times this week. Wow. And we don't see the humbleness of Christ. The Gentiles didn't have any garbage in their way. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. It shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Listen to the fulfillment. The Pharisees, therefore, among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is going after him. The Pharisees were getting excited. He's going to take our place. We can't have that. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship the feast. And the same came before to Philip, which was of Bethesda of Galilee and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. We have a chorus we sing sometime. People need the Lord. Did you know that? People need the Lord in this town. People really need to know Jesus. People around this world really need to know the Lord. Going to church, getting your name on the baptismal roll, that's not knowing the Lord. That's not knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord is when your heart aches and breaks, when you see the sin that's gripping us. Jesus would have a miraculous ministry. The prophecy says that in Isaiah 35:5. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. For all you guys that like to hunt deer, that's a deer. And the tongue of the dumb sing. Did the choir sing beautiful? Did the pianist play out the music beautiful? My, if this is world and that's heaven, what's it going to be like over there? What's it going to be like? For the wilderness shall break out the streams of desert. The fulfillment, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? I told the church Sunday night, or Wednesday night, maybe it was last Sunday night, when I was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the great guy out there preaching. But when he got put in prison, he got weak. When you get away from God's people, you get weak. And he got weak. And he was afraid. The king announced he's going to cut his head off. And John said, go ask Jesus, is he really the one? And Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again the things that you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and get this part, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That is our sole purpose as a church, as a Christian. When you have given your last word, Jesus will take you home. Jesus would be despised and rejected. That's prophesied. And he also, another place, prophesied that we would. He said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. So get ready for it. Oh, I went to church, but nobody liked me. Get over it. Get over it. A lot of people setting up the myth tree. Well, I tried, it didn't work. Let the world try you. Let the world furnish the cross. You need more than a gold medal hanging around your neck or laying on your dashboard. You need the cross of Jesus in your heart. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainting with grief. And we hid as if we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. No, kill him, crucify him, kill him. The same crowd that came with him that morning in when he was riding on the donkey and saying, Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna. That same crowd is now saying, Crucify that man. And we hid our face. It was fulfilled. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard him speak there, these things, they were filled with wrath. Oh, yeah. People say, Well, you may be mad, Pastor Hodge. Well, maybe I'm supposed to. Get over it. Get over it. If it makes you mad hearing about how bad you are. And they rose up and they took Jesus out of the city, it says. And they led him to the brow of a hill that was going to shut him over, that they might cast him down headlong. But he escaped. Next we see the Messiah will bring an end to sin. Oh, glory. End of sin. In the book of Daniel, it tells us about how our time on earth is lulled into, as a people, into 70 years. Many think we're in the 69th week of that, moving on. He said 70 weeks are determined upon the people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end to sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, to anoint the most holy. We see the fulfillment. Galatians 1:3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's all about him, folks. He grew up. He's not the babe in the manger. He's the Son of God in heaven. He's not on that cross. He died once for all that we might have eternal life. And he gives you an invitation. He gives an invitation to this church in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There was a man one time, thought Jesus called him to preach when he was praying. And he went to the church and he said, God has called me to preach. They said, no. He went back and got on his knees. He said to the Lord, they don't want me to preach. He said, they're not letting me in either. We've kicked Jesus out. We've kicked him out of our government. We've kicked him out of our schools. We've taken him out of church, replacing him with all kinds of other things. We don't want him. Behold, I stand at the door now. If any man hear that voice and open the door, it's up to us. Jesus don't crash his way into your life. He stands silently after he knocks and waits. He says, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Has Jesus come into your heart? Have you invited him? He's there and you know it. Would you stand for prayer? With heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that not one single soul, young, old, male or female, goes out without giving that invitation or have given it some other time. Dear Lord, have your way. While the piano plays softly, if you know your Jesus has come into your heart and he's real to you, I mean real, would you raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor Hodge, I know he's real in my heart. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't see who didn't raise their hand, but if you didn't, would you please come? Would you please come? Would you say a prayer? Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, the best way I know how, I pray right now that you'd forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior so I can go to heaven with you. If you have not prayed that prayer, Please do that. Dear Lord, have your way. Come into my heart today. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. We're going to sing a hymn. The altars continue to open. We have a lot of sick people need prayed for. Maybe some of your relatives. You want to come and pray? Prayer works. Prayer works. We're singing what number? 315. COVID. He's getting a little bit better, so continue to pray for him. My son Wayne and his son and son's family, grandkids, are getting a little bit better. They've kind of finally turned the corner. Had a rough time on them, so continue to pray for them. All right? Tonight's kids' program, right? So don't forget that. We'll see you then. I took the Lord in prayer. But would